Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 373. My name is Chris Fricchio and I'm here with Travis Baum.
Ladies.
And then that's it. Just me and Travis.
Just us.
So
nice little bro show.
Yeah, here. So Interactive Fire Team Podcast episode one.
Mm-hmm.
much to Jeff's chagrin, but that's okay. That's okay. But he actually had some plans with some friends, and we couldn't get schedules to line up. And we took last week off, so we didn't want to leave you guys without another show. So we're gonna just probably do something really quick. It's not gonna be a terribly long show. We're not gonna do a feature, but we'll do some distractions, then we'll do a little bit of news, and we'll do new releases, and then we'll get out of here. So before we do that, let's see what's up, Travis.
Hi.
How you doing, buddy?
Hi, I've been playing Destiny.
I know, that's a thing, right?
That's it.
That's
all
it.
I've been doing. No, there's some cool stuff going around. A good friend of mine is getting married. Well, we're recording on Friday, so tomorrow. And,
oh, cool.
And I'm actually, she asked me to, she was like, hey, Travis, look, I know you're at a new place, but I need someone to do a video of my wedding, and I know it may be too expensive to do it like through a company and everything. I mean, those things can go up like $3,000-$4,000.
Yeah.
So she was like, hey, can you give me a price if you did it independently? And I gave her a hella deal, but something that, you know, would, I mean, this is an all-day affair for me, and it's a lot of editing, and it's high pressure. It's somebody's wedding, so you want to make sure you give them the best stuff. You focus a lot of attention to it. So I gave her a price for it, and she took it. And we're gonna be doing a wedding tomorrow. I'm pretty excited about it.
That's cool.
It's the first one for me, but I'm just excited about it. Like, usually when it's like a different industry that I'm going into, and I'm kind of going in blind, do a little research to be prepared. But I'm actually pretty excited about this. This is kind of the thing I like to do. Just kind of tell a story about something. And I think this is going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to it. So,
very cool.
But yeah, that's kind of really everything that's happening. I'll let you guys know next week if I fuck it up.
Well, I mean, I completely understand that, because if you remember, actually, you wouldn't remember. Did we know each other when I got married? I was married when we met, wasn't I?
We were practically best friends, and you just didn't invite me. I don't get it. Don't get it.
but Jason did the videography for my wedding.
Nice.
So I'm very appreciative, and I offered to pay him, and he told me no. But, you know, as close as him and I are, that's understandable.
He said, just keep the sexual favors up.
Pretty much, yeah.
And you know, we'll do it for no charge.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it worked out in the end.
Yeah, payment of the flesh.
That's right. But yeah, he did a really good job. He did a really good job. So we have a DVD of all of our wedding, and I have yet to make copies of it because we just have the one.
Well, she just kind of specified, do the video, send a file over and stuff like that. But, and I know I'm not a company that Travis Baum is not a company that specializes in doing this, because I know most places, like, they'll create DVDs, nice DVD cover and stuff like that. So I kept that under the, kept this under the wraps, but I'm going to actually, oh no, she listens to the show now. Shit. Mm-hmm. She's going to know. But I'm going to go ahead and,
does she really? Cause that would be funny.
No, she does not.
Okay.
I'm actually going to, I'll produce three DVDs for her, one for her and her future husband, and then one for each set of parents.
Nice.
And send
that
over to her as well.
That's cool.
On top of it. So,
yeah.
What about you, man? What's going on? What's happening?
Not a lot. You know, basic stuff. But one thing that has been happening quite a bit lately
is Destiny.
Well, yeah, that. And in reality, one of the things that's really get me right now is my son is starting to read more, and he's amazing at it. I mean, he's like, they have these books that where the parent is supposed to read one side of the page and then the kid is supposed to read the other side, and he reads both of them. I mean, so he's piecing together like a lot of the longer words that he's not supposed to know for another 1 or 2 years. And he's like, it's like, oh yeah, no problem. And they handed us so he's in kindergarten now, right? And they handed us this like ring. It's like a metal ring with pieces of paper on it. Like, and there's like 80 or something of them. And it's like, these are your sight words. He needs to know all of these by the end of the year. And, you know, it was like last weekend or something like that. And Crystal had him sitting on her lap, and just started flipping through them. He knew every single one. I mean, he tripped up on a couple of them, but he knew every single one of them. And mm-hmm. I'm just really happy to see this because he was so resistant to reading at first. Now at night, he's so excited because we have these books that he gets to read and that he can do, that he can get all the words right. And at the end, there's like these little, puzzles that test his comprehension and things like that. And he's been getting all of those. And it's for someone like for me, I always had a lot of trouble reading because I'm a slow reader. My wife says I have ADHD, which probably is true. I've never been diagnosed with it, but I've never gotten checked for it either. So I have a lot of trouble paying attention to books, when I'm reading and my mind wanders. So I've always been very slow and it's been very hard for me to comprehend a lot of things. And it's unless I'm really, really into it. So to see him, you know, getting as moving it forward as quickly as he is with something like reading, it's really, 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 really makes me happy. Very cool. That's incredible. And, Alora just turned 3, last month and she's been doing some mimicking of Liam at karate class and, they want her to start or they said that she can try. So they're not like they usually don't start until 3.5. But they're going to start her at the beginning of next cycle, which is in like 2 weeks. So they're going to give her a shot.
Like you're raising a couple of little Padawans right there.
Yes, sir. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. But, that's enough of the dad podcast. I'm just really, really, you know, really proud of both of them. So
that's good shit, man.
Kind of talking, just bragging about it a little bit because, so
got me a couple smarter kids.
That's right.
How you doing over there?
But, let's talk about some games then. Or maybe I should say talking about one game. I mean, have you played anything else?
Yeah. I'm downloading the NBA Live 16 demo for some odd reason. I don't know.
Okay.
I just want to try to face the facial capture technology.
Really?
That's all I downloaded it for. I only want to play the game. I just want to see what my face looks like in a video game again.
Doesn't 2K have that too?
They do, but this is like that new. I mean, I've always really dug the photo game face mm-hmm. feature that EA Sports has instituted since like Tiger Woods, like 2011. Okay. I just dug it. You know, being able to scan your face in, it gets it pretty right. You just got to do the right hair, shape your face correctly, and you can get it looking pretty good. And you know, when you're in the game, it animates your face, your character will talk. It's neat.
Interesting.
I like it a lot. And, I've seen some hit or miss things with the NBA 2K's version of it, but, EA Sports has just, you know, had it right. You go in there, you place the 3D dots on your face after you take the photo. So it'll, you know, when it's doing the rendering, it knows what's the tip of your nose, what's the highest point, widest point in your cheekbones and everything. And it does a pretty good representation of yourself, most of the time. But now they're touting like this is Game Face 2.0. This is like the next generation of their technology to be able to do this. And the first time we're going to be able to see it is in NBA Live 2016.
Okay.
I'm literally downloading it just for that and nothing else. Serious.
That's like, fine. No, dude, I have 100% no problem with that because, you know, new tech is cool and that's the thing. It's like, I just want to try this out because it looks neat, you know? And, I have no problem with that. That's one of the core
reasons I haven't picked up Madden in the last couple of years is my favorite mode is like the be a superstar mode where you create you in the game. You start in as a rookie, you're like third, fourth string, and you have to work your way up the depth chart through practicing and getting your skills up and become better till you're eventually a starter, and you just try to be the, you know, a Hall of Fame player, you know, by the time 20 years has passed. I love that mode. It's my favorite thing to do in Madden. They have kind of pushed that to the wayside almost to the point where the last 2 years, since Madden's been next generation, they've completely removed the game face feature. I get you're wearing a helmet the entire time, but it's still cool to have your face in the game when you're going through that. You know, all the FIFA games still have it on next generation, so the technology is they're able to do it. They just choose not to. And it's one of the sole reasons I haven't bought Madden. Madden is pretty good this year. I just want to play as Travis, you know?
I thought you were going to tell me that they didn't do that, and I was going to ask if that was the case, Cause actually I have a buddy of mine on Facebook. He goes, well, we knew each other on Pocket Otaku back in the day, and he went by Hair Razor. His name is Billy, but he plays that like crazy, and he's a huge Giants fan. But his character got, ended up on the Broncos. So he showed me a stat of like, he ran for 300 and something yards in the first half and like 6 touchdowns. I was like, hey, at least you're a Bronco, you know? So, but yeah, it's pretty cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, good stuff, man. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, really, we're just wasting time, man. It's been Destiny.
Yeah.
All day.
It really has since, you know, 2.0 came out and, I was trying to fit in Metal Gear, and I'm still gonna fit in some Metal Gear, but right now it's all about The Taken King, because this game is so much different than it was this time last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I think that the biggest thing for me is the mission structure and the quest structure, mm-hmm. where I always seem to have something to strive for. You know, it's more than just, oh, pick up these bounties. Oh, get 100 headshots or whatever. And now it's like, it seems like I went through the story, and we'll come back to that. But I went through the story of The Taken King. And then all of a sudden I had more stuff to do than I did in the story itself. I mean, there were more side quests than there were story missions. And I'm still going through that stuff, you know?
Yeah, and obviously it will get to the point where we were a month ago, to where we have exhausted the amount of the story. I mean, these, you know, tons of side quests that they kind of showed us when Taken King came out. And it will go back to the normal, you know, Nightfall, raid, other small activities and everything, you know, week to week to week. That's going to happen. But yeah,
that's going to show up a lot slower than it did in previous.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
There's so much more to do.
Yeah, and it's great. And you know, and it just makes it more interesting to be able to have so much extra stuff. And everything is worth something. Everything is completely worth it. There, you know, you get all these different, you know, quest chains to get pieces of armor to raise your light, to get better weapons. And it's really, really significant.
Yeah, you know, I like the idea that there are... there's not like there might be, but there's not like, it's not the idea of an exotic bounty anymore. Now there's actually quest lines to get exotic weapons and not just one or two. I mean, I know I'm missing some, but I've already gotten like 3 exotic, weapons out of quest lines. And I got to work on the sword. You know, I still got the sword quest line to go, and I know there's others as well. So, class specific, weapons, that's pretty cool. And they're all very different and play to, some of the strengths of that particular class. You know, all these little additions are really, really interesting and very welcome, because mm-hmm. it was, you know, a year of Destiny. A lot of fun, mainly because I was playing with other people.
The substance community.
The substance of the game would not have been enough to sustain. If it wasn't for the group that we're in, I not afraid to say it, I would not have put as much time into Destiny. This particular expansion, I would easily put more time into this than I would have vanilla Destiny based on what's in the package.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and that goes without saying. You know, we see people on our friends list right now who, you know, we've had our buddy John West, and he jumped up to level 40 pretty quickly. I can tell that he's enjoying it.
He hasn't played since vanilla. He didn't play either the DLC either. And Jason played it. Is playing it.
I played a little bit with Jason and everything. You know, he's kind of in the mindset of I don't really know what I'm doing. But I can tell that he's at least enjoying it. So, I mean, and that's a, you know, it doesn't sound like a ringing endorsement, but it is a far cry
from what
people were saying about
it
before. You know, it's like, nope, nope, nope. I don't like it. And that's it. But now you're seeing a lot of people kind of coming around and appreciating the changes that were made to make this a better experience going into the second year.
Yeah.
And really that kicks off with story presentation.
Yeah, they did an amazing job on that. I mean, and it's evident from the very first mission. And, you know, unlike you know, what most people might expect. It's like, oh yeah, they dress up the first mission and then it kind of goes down the same path. It really doesn't. There's so much more personality. And my God, freaking Nathan Fillion, he is fan-freaking-tastic in this game.
Yeah, I mean, just wonderful.
He is just amazing in this game.
In Vanilla Destiny, he even has some of the better lines. But the problem was, you know, your three Vanguard, you know, heads of the Vanguard for each class, they were just kind of static MMO NPCs. They'll have a couple of lines here and there. You'll hear them in the intro narration going into missions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the writing's not bad. It's just that there's really no substance. There's not anything to really keep you interested in what they have to say, because it's just like brief introduction, go kill this guy.
Yeah.
Your only hope, Guardian. And that's pretty much it. And this actually sheds a lot of light into the
who
characters.
They are. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And how they work together, because you now realize that these are three completely different people, or four. If you, I mean, Eris Morn has a lot of stuff. She was, kind of brought into the Destiny world via the
Dark
Crota.
Below.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Dark Below, the Crota expansion. And
yeah, she plays a major part with this one.
Huge
too,
so. Part. And it's really, really good to have this really weird spiritual deadpan type, you know, serious, sad character interacting with wacky, roguish, you know, fun Nathan Fillion
right?
And they make it work. It's, you really appreciate how much, I mean, 10 times written better than anything that they've ever done with Destiny period since the first year ended.
Yeah.
And it's really great. You get cutscenes. Yeah. The cutscenes are very front loaded. You know, so by the time you're halfway through the story sections, it's you don't see that many cutscenes anymore. But they really, I mean, you don't want to spend too much time watching cutscenes in a game like Destiny. You don't want it to be riddled with cutscenes. You want enough to get you into the world, into the story that's going on right now, and then continue telling a good story throughout the actual gameplay.
Yeah,
and they increase that tenfold as well. I mean, there's the witty back and forth, you know, conversations that are going on between the Vanguards and the other characters while you're playing the game was kind of introduced in House of Wolves in the second expansion, and they added on to that, and it's really, really cool. And then the missions are just fun too. And they play with you for a bit. You know, Chris, I'm not very worried about spoiling story elements with Destiny, because it's, I mean, the story is better, but you're not going to be spoiled of the game if you find out stuff. So I'm okay with saying this, but they play around with some very meta stuff as well. Like, there's a specific mission where 10 minutes into it, you do what you came to, you did what you came to do, and it pops up the user interface for mission complete. Your timer, like, okay, go into orbit. And then next thing you know, the person, that's talking to you, their voice starts going in and out with like static, and you're like, whoa, Guardian, we're losing your feed, we can't hear you. And then that screen goes away, and then next thing you know, you're bombarded with enemies and you just have to escape. You think the mission's over, but no, they just kind of fake you out and they say, haul ass, get out of there, you're about to die.
That was the first time I ran into that mission. I actually tried to fight my way out. Yeah, that was a mistake.
It was a mistake.
It was, I lasted literally about 60 seconds and then it was like, oh, look, I'm dead. And, you know, it started back up right at that point. And I was like, forget this. And I just hauled ass out of there. So, but yeah, that was an interesting, and that's not the only, you know, it's not the only time they do something like that. You know, there are other missions in there where they, you know, you think you're done and they kind of give you a sidestep or the end of that mission opens up something else, for later on. And it's nice to see that they've branched out in how they're presenting the story and how these missions piece together and all of that. So, I definitely appreciate that they put some work into it. It sounds like they've been listening. If only they did this from the start. But you know, it is what it is. The actual gameplay has always been fun. Now there's just a much better wrapper on this game.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and a lot of the other stuff has improved. You know, strikes are more interesting. The new strikes are really cool. The old strikes have new enemies added to it. You know, there's two or three different versions of even the old stuff. So, it's kind of a, you know, a guessing game of which version of this level we've played right. 20 times before is going to be, which is cool.
Yeah, there's one particular strike and, you know, we joke about it. We call it Rocket McDickface. And there's, I've played that several times between, you know, doing the heroic playlist and the regular strike playlist, trying to do complete my like quests and stuff like that. And I think I've seen like four different versions of that strike now, you know. So they did work on trying to make old content more interesting. And I mean, my biggest thing is that the new strikes are so well designed that, you know, it's a pleasure to play them. It really is. Well, except for the saber one. The saber one's kind of annoying. But the other three new strikes are fantastic. And yes, they are, some of them, you know, like the what's the one with the Vex, mind at the end?
That's, Undying Mind.
Undying Mind with the ball that you're bringing back and forth or something like that. Yes, that is very, very challenging. And it's challenging because, not because they're spawning an unfair amount of enemies or not because they're, you know, making things, making him a complete bullet sponge. It's challenging because of the strategy you need to use to complete the strike and defeat the boss. And that's what I like to see. They did that wonderfully with that as well as the Shield Brothers and the, what was the other one? The, Sunless Cell.
Sunless Cell. I think the coolest boss fight in the entire game.
I would agree with you. I think that's, you know, outside of like Oryx himself, I think that's, it's definitely the one that really got me, where I was, what's the word I'm looking for? Anxious. You know, there was a level of anxiety while fighting that boss for the first time that, you know, I haven't felt in fighting
ever, really anything. Ever in Destiny.
Yeah. Cause everything else is, you know, it's not very, it's not very imposing, you know? But that boss, yeah, that boss, and not just that boss, but that's the situation it puts you in. And that's what it is. It's the situation it puts you in. And yeah, there's a lot of anxiety there and it keeps you on your toes. And you know, between that and the only other thing that even comes close is the Oryx fight, in my opinion.
Yeah, for real. And one of the things that we were really excited about, obviously, was the addition of a brand new raid. But you know, the raid was really all about Vault of Glass. That was kind of like Destiny's, shining moment in trying to, get a group of six players together working as a cohesive team, cause, I like Crota's end. I do like the Crota raid. But it's too short. There's not a lot of, thinking.
Yeah. On your mechanics, part. The mechanics are all very,
it's
relatively
glitchy as hell. To this day, there are two major ways to easily glitch the game out in the early goings to just freely pass through that mission. Or through those sections of the raid, and it's just not complete. It just feels completely incomplete. And, you know, when House of Wolves came out, we were kind of taken aback that, hey, there's going to be no raid for this. You'll have Prison of Elders, the arena mode, and that's pretty much it. And so, you know, we knew that there had to have been a massive,
pretty fast.
Yeah, we knew that there had to be a massive, jump in the quality of their next raid. And
there better have been, and there was. It definitely was.
Yeah, I mean, I can easily say, you know, going through it, going through the raid twice, and, I've beaten orcs once, and going through, I can easily say that I do enjoy this raid way better than, the Vault of Glass. I think it's, you can definitely tell they sat and sketched out and planned, or they pre-planned and executed exactly what they wanted to try to do. You know, I'm almost at a point where, and I wasn't like this with Crota, I want to know what hit the cutting room floor. Like, I want to know what didn't make the cut, because everything was so out there and so new compared to what Destiny's done before. You know, one of my favorite parts in A Vault of Glass is the platforming section, where it's just a bottomless pit for like a good mile, and you're hopping from platform to platform to platform to try not to fall. And, you know, there's always that one guy that's like constantly failing and guardian down.
There's always Johnny who's constantly failing.
everybody's trying to root for that guy, and, you know, you're shooting these certain platforms to kind of direct him where to go next and everything. And I love that kind of aspect to, you know, working together as a group, this really difficult area. And they even, you know, they didn't just add an extra, you know, section like that into the new raid for the Taken King. They added like four or three different platforming sections, and they're all super cool. They look great. They play great. They're super challenging. And, you know, great boss encounters. And it's not even difficult in terms of like Twitch combat. It's not even difficult like that.
It's strategy.
It's strategy. It's being in the right position at the right time.
Right.
And everybody has to be on the same page.
And do your job.
And do your job. It is so fun. And they did one of the best things they could ever add to Destiny. So if you were to wipe, and people, I mean, I'm sure everybody knows what wiping means, but the boss goes bad, the boss fight goes bad, it's time for everybody to die real quick. You just wipe the mission. And when you get the game over screen before you respawn back into the world to start it over again, Destiny's always had like this little scorecard that pops up to shows how many people have kills, how many people have this, how many people have that. Well, now they have it to where they actually show, the collective damage you've done on that round on that boss. So, you know, a lot of the missions are damage per second check. You have to have your strongest weapons, the right weapons up, so when it's time to damage the boss, you're doing maximum damage. And this allows you, after every fail, to see, you know, okay, who maybe is not putting the correct amount of damage on there. What can we do to change that to get more damage on here so we can finish this fight faster
or could,
and more efficiently?
Could they do a different job where they're not one of the people that are solely responsible for doing damage, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And that's the case. I mean, yesterday we ran through, Golgoroth or whatever his name is. And, my primary role was not to damage the boss. It was to just keep his attention off of the people that were. And, you know, that's arguably probably one of the most important roles of that encounter. In my opinion, because if, you know, there were a couple of runs where, you know, he's got these, you know, there's like the soft spot on his back, and he's got these like weird, like leg tentacle things that are like around it. And there were like from the angle I was at, it was sometimes I was missing the spot and hitting the legs, and I wouldn't get his attention. And that caused us a problem. And there were a couple times where we wiped because of it. We made one little adjustment, and then all of a sudden we beat the boss. So, you know, it's that kind of thing. It's that kind of strategy. It's like, it's talking amongst the people that are in the raid with you and saying, how can we change this? How could we fix this problem that just happened? What could we do better? And that's everything that it is. It's all about strategy, and it's a lot less about Twitch combat.
Yeah.
And there still is that Twitch combat aspect.
Oh, but it's there, yeah.
Yeah, it's still more about the strategy and the actual, the puzzle solving of the encounter itself.
Yeah, and you do Vault of Glass, you do Crota's End, you do it so much over and over and over again to where you can basically do it blindfolded. You can do it without dying and getting the Flawless Raider achievement and everything. And it's easy to forget, you know, in the moment where we're at currently right now, of how difficult these things are. We know one day this is going to be super easy. We know it's going to be
but
super
right now
easy.
It's not.
But right now it's not. And there's something to say. There's something that's really special to say about being in the situation where you have a bunch of new people with you. A lot of people who haven't played with each other before, or we haven't played together in a while, if anything. And then you're coming into something blind, like really new. And you go into this, you're struggling, you fail, you fail, you fail, you tweak, you fail, you tweak again. And then the next thing you know, you beat it, and then everybody just erupts.
Yeah.
It's an amazing feeling that there's no Call of Duty, there's no Madden, there's no Final Fantasy that will ever make a group of people do that.
And
well, maybe Final Fantasy 14, technically. Technically. Yes, it could.
It's exactly like what you said. Like yesterday, when we ran our part of the raid, we ran some of it with one of our listeners, Nogric, Greg, and it was first time he'd ever done it. And it was explaining what was going on and what the strategies were. And then, he picked it up really, really quick. And like in the Death Singers, I think arguably he had the best platforming run that we got out of that particular boss fight.
Of all of us,
he easily
he gelled into that pretty easily.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
For someone we've never played in raid with before, Greg was top notch, but that's not saying enough. I mean, he had critical roles in every single boss encounter.
Yeah,
and every single boss encounter, he had a critical role that he could not mess up in. And he stepped up to the challenge. He really knocked it out.
Yep. It's good stuff. So the one thing it's been a really good experience.
We're only a couple of weeks into it, and I'm really digging it. It's brought some. I mean, it's never obviously died for us, but we can definitely see the grind wearing off toward the end of year one. And it's I'm really back into it, man. Playing every day and hanging out with my bros. Shooting some shit up. It's fun. Yep.
The one thing that I really want to touch on is the new subclasses and how good they feel. Like for me, I've only messed with Stormcaller, but there have been moments of giddiness while playing Stormcaller.
they have the best super in the game.
Oh, like, yeah, it's absolutely.
Hands down. I mean, you're floating around shooting bolts of lightning, waves of lightning from your fingertips.
You're completely like Emperor Palpatine, just electrocuting shit. And like the first, and it's cool because you have to actually, like, these are basically subclasses that have been lost in time to an extent, and you go on a mission to get them. And I just remember being in the party doing my Stormcaller mission, and when I first got the Stormcaller, the super, I activated the super, and I'm floating around electrocuting stuff, and I just remember doing this little giddy laugh, and like there were like three people in the party with us, and they just busted out laughing, and it's like, you are having a lot of fun over there. And it was true. I was having so much fun, and there are still times when I activate that super and just take out an enormous wave of enemies, and I'm just like, you know, that kind of thing. And it feels really good. And I'm really looking forward to, and that's the thing. It's like, I'm really, really looking forward to both of the other subclasses and the other main classes. So Sunbreaker looks like a lot of fun, and, Voidwalker looks like a ton of fun as well. And
yeah, it is. I mean, a lot of my experience with the Night Stalker. And it's really great because, I'm sorry if I interrupted you a second ago too. Your voice cut out. And
yeah,
I
we're think breaking I, up. I thought, we're okay, losing yeah. our connection. So
yeah,
sorry, okay. sorry about that, listeners. We apparently have a bad connection on Skype, and we cut out every once in a while.
Yeah, Nat type errors. Yeah, if you're on PS4, you know all about it. So with the Night Stalker, it's different because it's all about a support role,
and it's such a good support role. And
yeah.
like the things that class can do are really, really interesting to me. Like the freaking, like the shadow dodge. That's really cool. You know,
super helpful in PvP.
Yeah.
easily piss people off with it. It's kind of unfair. So, but it's, you know, the super to where Chris's super right now, you know, the Sith Lightning is basically, you know, just decimate. You're a god for about 20 seconds, and you are just decimating anything that stands in your way. The Night Stalker, my super, is nothing like that. You know, you could go without killing anybody if not, you know, used correctly and everything. But it's a support super. You basically shoot your bow and arrow, and you hit in a certain point, or you hit an enemy, and it basically creates an orb of void light that all of a sudden shoots out and tethers to multiple other enemies. I mean, there could be 15 other guys around. It's going to tether to all those enemies. And then you have the ability based on which certain perks you have equipped for your subclass. You know, you can shoot a guy. You can extend the duration to keep the guys tethered and slowed to where they're easy pickings for your team. Or you can have it to where, you know, if you kill the guy that you had the thing attached to, it'll explode immediately all the other ones. So it depends the fire team you're on, what kind of support role you need to play for your team, or what level you're on. So you kind of have to mix and match and tweak where you're at depending on, the group that you're with and what level is there. So,
yeah,
two totally completely different things. You know, one's purely, just decimation. One's just helping everybody out and adds a lot more flair to the different classes and everything. Cause one of the opportunities that they definitely had was make the three of these classes not seem so, samey. And these new things were added. And I think they, it gives people, when they're starting a new character, a tougher decision into, okay, now these guys are a little bit more different than what they were in Vanilla Destiny. What's going to be best for me?
Yeah.
To start off with. And I think it makes that decision a lot tougher to make.
I agree. And was that another thing that comes in really handy is the combination of the Void Arrow and the Stormcaller, and just how easily it is to wreck dudes when they're tethered. I mean, it's just, it's kind of ridiculous.
And you're dropping 20 orbs on the ground between the two of you.
I know.
Everybody's got their super all over again. And it's great. We were talking about that last night, and then we were like, man, this supers work so well together. It's such a blast, man. Like, I'm so happy that Destiny is, new and fresh again and back in our lives. And one of the cool things about it is that, we've already started to see this week an example of Bungie hiding some things in the wings that allow, to keep it fresh for as long as possible. So now they introduce that they're, the daily missions that you can do for extra experience, extra, resources to purchase items, and it's always just been a grind. Okay, today's a daily. Got to do the daily. Got to do some weekly stuff. Got to do my nightfall. So you just kind of had a set day with Destiny. You knew what you had to do first before you did a lot of the community stuff. You just knew what to do. But this makes it even more important because now it's you never know if there's a secret that's going to come out that allows you to get a new exotic weapon or, a hidden challenges somewhere. The community in Reddit may find something that's like super, super big that'll give you this super great weapon or piece of armor. And it seems like that Bungie has a few more tricks up their sleeve, to keep the longevity of this going so it doesn't get as stagnant as fast as Vanilla Destiny would get for other people. So. Yeah. And again, that's something that the future is yet to behold, because it could get stale tomorrow, but I doubt it.
Yeah.
But I really doubt it.
They did a really good job on this one. And, there's a lot of people skeptical about the $40 price tag for the expansion, itself. But I would argue that this is more than worth the $40. I mean, I think that, the amount of changes that they made to this make it, it's worth revisiting in general. If you played Destiny from the start and, couldn't get into it as much, it's worth revisiting now, based on the changes that they've made.
Well, saying that we've spent $140 on this game so far, I think getting all this content for $60 is a steal.
Yeah.
I think it's an absolute steal.
Yeah, I agree. Good stuff.
Yeah, man.
I don't have anything else to add. So it was pretty much just Destiny for me.
Yeah, me too, man.
All right. We're going to do some quick news. Travis, why don't you go first? You have a couple, right?
So this news actually came out today from Activision. So basically it's if you still own just a PS3, you haven't made a leap to the current generation of consoles. We really hope you're not a fan of award-winning narratives and musical crescendos to get your blood pumping in Call of Duty, because there is going to be no story mode in Call of Duty for last gen. They're just completely giving it up.
Really?
Which, not having it in last generation, is just going to be zombie mode and multiplayer.
I didn't see that. I did not read that, so that's actually news to me.
Yeah, and I kind of don't have an issue with this. And it's mainly because And it's starting to get better, but, you know, when the new generation first came out, we were seeing, oh, you know, Assassin's Creed, Black Flag, oh my god, this is gonna be so great. You know, it had a port. It had a PS3 version, and then it had a PS4 version, and the same with the Xbox. So it still had, as great of a game as it was, and it was a beautiful game, you can still kind of tell shades of, you know, just graphically, you can tell that this was shared with a last generation game. And this is, you know, Activision and their developers kind of saying that, you know what, if we're going to make a next generation game, we are going to make it on next generation. Because, I mean, obviously, if you play a Call of Duty game graphically, there is a slight downgrade when you jump over the multiplayer. That's always been the case. You know, but, you know, you get great facial motion capture, you get cool, you just get great graphics in a Call of Duty game. I mean, they look great. They're beautiful. And this is them saying that, you know, we're kind of moving on. We still want to deliver a great story to people who want to play the storyline, but, we're making it on the terms that this is a next generation game and it's not there. So I'm okay with that. So people who play Call of Duty, they still get to play their multiplayer. They still get to play zombies, and that's mainly what they're going to play for. But I don't see this as much of a money grab or them trying to coax people into buying consoles as much as they're wanting to make the game that they want to make. And they can't do that while catering to developing something for the last generation. So I'm okay with this. I'm completely fine.
And I think it's going to be fine for most, because the majority of the playtime in that game is
they want to play. Yeah, they don't. They, yeah. I mean, what are they going to do? Are they going to sit there? Okay, well, let's delay the game and make it so we can have time to make it for the last generation. Because nobody wants to see a delay, as us Persona 5 fans saw a delay from Atlus during Tokyo Game Show. We got a great trailer. They got us so hyped up, Chris, so hyped up with like this 2-minute trailer, and it was amazing. And what did they do when they fade to black? Coming 2016.
Yeah.
And then we gave a collective cry. But again, I ask, is this going to make the game better? Do I have to wait 7 or 8 months for a much more polished, complete experience?
Yeah.
In Persona 5.
And that's the thing. It's like, I 100% agree with the idea that a bad game is bad forever. A delayed game is only delayed until it comes out. So.
Yeah.
People don't remember after it comes out.
And, you know, there's a lot of people who share my love for the Persona series. A lot of people who listen, a lot of people we've joined on other podcasts. Just huge, huge fans of this series. We want it done correctly. And I am completely fine with this delay. Yeah, I would have loved to play this game in 2 months. I would have loved to, but I would have been, I can't imagine how bad I would have felt if this game came out this year and it was bad or, you know, glitchy or just not complete. So if this is going to make a better experience for me, I'm all for it. Let's do it. I can wait a few more months for sure.
Yeah. They delayed Star Fox Zero as well. For people that were looking forward to that, I'm hoping one of the reasons they delayed it was I didn't actually read the whole article, because I originally was not interested in buying this game, because the controls of it does not look interesting to me. It looks frustrating and not fun. So hopefully they're doing some work on that. So, you know, they're saying that they didn't really give. Let's see, further polishing level design and perfecting the tone of the cutscenes. So maybe that's all it is. I'm hoping they're actually working on some of that control to get rid of that that aiming in two different screens thing. That does not look fun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what?
Yeah. Oh, you didn't – have you not seen videos of Star Fox? You literally – you aim – like you control the ship and, you know, I think there's a way to turn this off and do it another way. But you control the ship with the sticks and then – you actually control the reticule on the screen with the controller. So you're moving it around and you can see it like on the small screen. You can see the reticule that you're firing at on the small screen while you're watching the big screen to fly. And it's like, that just doesn't work. I mean, that's not going to work.
Nintendo's just answering the call of their fans. No one wants to play on a stupid gamepad anymore. No one wants to do that. This is fucking Captain Harlock shit all over again. This is
look
is
how watching... easy it is. You can hold the controller and there's a Wiimote and yeah, oh man.
This is watching TRL on one screen and then setting up your Wii U controller on the coffee table and pointing your Wiimote at it. This is it's Nintendo, man, they're terrible. I really hope this new changing of the guard does something to where they kind of use more common sense.
Yeah, I'm not going to say they're terrible.
I'm not going to say they're terrible. No, I mean
they're going in the wrong direction. I think, but
they have look at the success in the and just the standard way games are made and the success they have in making games that way, that standardized way in their portable market. You know, with portable, you can still do some, you know, gimmicky stuff and everything. But at the end of the day, it's putting your left hand on a D-pad, your left thumb on a D-pad, and your right thumb's on some buttons and playing a video game.
Yep.
And they succeed in that, like, so well.
They don't need gimmicks. That's the thing.
They don't. Like, the creativity to make a great game, the ingenuity is there. Just make a great game and let us play it the way people play video games.
Yep.
I agree. Yeah, I mean it's just completely strange the way they're doing things, and I'm super excited about this because Life is Strange was a surprise hit, just indie Telltale game version. I mean, you guys have heard me four times with each of the episodes that I've currently released, just gush about how great this game is, and episode 5. Is going, Don't Nod released a statement saying, as long as development keeps up the way it's going, look for Life of Strange episode 5 on October 20th. So less than a month away, and we get to see this exciting and really, really much needed episode 5 for Life of Strange.
Yeah, you were really high on that.
It's so. Just a fresh take on that. This new adventure game model, and it's purely indie from head to toe, man. It's just it starts off as a small story. You got indie music all over the place. It's just refreshing, and I think it's a great avenue for people, gamers and not, who want to experience a great story, cool characters, great music, and just kind of make decisions as this girl trying to figure out what's happening to herself, her friends, and the town she lives in. It's just, it's a great experience. And I know, like you, Chris, you're interested in playing it when all 5 episodes are available. So that day is coming very soon. Mm-hmm. And I highly urge you to give it a shot, because, you know, just 5 minutes into it and you're going to have a smile on your face, because it's just a lovable game. Not too many bad things I can say about this title. Not too many bad things.
Cool.
But that's really all I have in terms of some news. You have anything on your docket?
That's it for me as well.
That's it for you? All right, yeah. Cool.
So let's quickly get through new releases, and then we can call it a night. Coming out next week is LEGO Dimensions. It's coming out for Xbox One, Xbox 360, PS3, Wii U, and I would assume PS4. I don't see it on here, but I would assume it's also coming out for PS4. That looks interesting, but I've already got my money invested in Infinity, so I'm not going to do another Toys to Life thing, even though I'm a huge Lego fan. And there's Doctor Who, apparently, which may or may not drag me into it at one point or another.
And Portal.
And Portal, yes, yeah. And Batman.
Back to the Future. Lots of stuff. That game does look pretty cool.
It looks fun. And you actually put together the sets. It's like you actually go out and you buy an expansion and you have to put it together. So that's cool. Persona 4 Dancing All Night is coming out for Vita next week, as well as the Disco Fever Edition, which is coming next week.
Yeah.
Let's see. Grand Ages Medieval is coming for PS4. Arcana Heart 3, Love Max, is coming for PC. NBA 2K16, we just kind of talked about that a little bit, is coming for pretty much everything. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5 is coming out for the home consoles, less Nintendo home consoles. Dungeon Defenders 2 is coming for PS4. Fallout Anthology, they're releasing an anthology next week. Armacrog is coming out for PC next week. I feel like we've mentioned that on a previous show. So I don't know what that is, but it's coming out for Windows, Linux, and Mac. And then, Sonic, the Hedgehog 2, I'm sorry, 3D Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is coming for the 3DS. And I believe that is your new release list. Farming Simulator 16. So there's that too.
Actually, I was sitting there watching some PlayStation 4 streams, and somebody was playing a farming simulator game, because there is one for PS4. And oh my god, that is like watching paint dry. If they made like a boring paint color. Like, it's horrible.
What did George Carlin...
Watching beige paint dry.
What did George Carlin saying about golf? I'm trying to... Oh, yeah, it's like watching flies fuck. It's that that interesting. So. George Carlin was a funny man.
Yeah, it's funny shit.
Also, Might and Magic Heroes 7 Deluxe Edition.
It's crazy that they're still making Might and Magic, right?
I know. It's
God,
it's never going to die.
It's been around since I was like 12.
And this actually happened. Samurai Warriors 4 2. That's a thing.
It was so nice they made it twice.
That's right. Yeah. So but that is your new release list. So let's say pick of the week.
God damn. I mean, I really want to say Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5. I really want to say it. I love that series when it first came out.
Yeah.
Really dug it so much. I mean, brilliant, great music. Fun gameplay, very arcadey, point boosting. It's just Conan O'Brien had his first clueless gamer in like 3 months, and he brought on Lil Wayne and Tony Hawk to show off Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5. And for a PS4 and Xbox One title, it just looks horrible, horrible, horrible. And it's already been announced that the review embargo is not up until the day it releases.
Oh,
and
that's bad news. That's always bad news.
Man, it just looks bad. Even Conan O'Brien was like, they're on a character select scene, and they picked Tony Hawk's character on the select, and Tony, I mean, even Conan was like, you kind of look like dead in the eyes. Like, you just look like you murdered a couple of people. Like, he's just...
Oh, jeez.
He even commented on how weird the game looks, and it's kind of like this realistic CG that's crossed between cell shading and everything. I would love to say that Tony Hawk is my pick of the week, but it looks horrible. So Lego Dimensions, maybe?
Lego Dimensions is where I'm going, man, because I think that's a really cool idea.
Omicron sounds cool.
But yeah, Lego Dimensions for me. If I was going to buy one, that's probably where it would be. And my brother-in-law is picking that up. He was an Infinity guy last year, and this year he's getting into Lego Dimensions instead. So
okay. Maybe
I'll get a chance to check it out at that point. But yeah, that is our show. I mean,
that's
anything else before you want to wrap up?
That sounds like this shit's in the bag, man.
Yeah, I think so too. So, that's it. If you guys want to, we don't really have a feature for next week yet, but you guys are more than welcome to send emails. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. We'd love to hear from you. Voicemails as well. The number is 706-760-4337.
Mm-hmm.
Check us out on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast or Indus Questions, and you can check us out individually as well. I am Indus Chris, and Travis is, what's your name now?
I don't know. Shit, I don't know if I changed it. Just go with the old. Just go with the one it was
Indus
recently.
Indus Travis?
No, the one that's more recent.
Oh, which one is more recent?
I'm not sure.
I'm not either.
Come on, Chris.
I'm not saying it, dude. Fuck you.
Damn it.
I love you.
You're the worst wingman ever. That's it. You are the worst.
Is it? What's it? Indus Carbide? Something like that.
One day.
One day. One day. And Indus Geoff. Geoff. Let's see, what else? Facebook, Google Plus, Steam, Stitcher, and Twitch. We are Interactive Distractions. Search for us and you will find us. And, come over to VG Evo and check out the community over there, too. And that is all I've got. So if you don't have anything...
I don't.
Then we're done. Thank you guys for listening.
Chris.
Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or Stitcher, please leave us a review. But until next time, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.
Deuces.